Good morning. Isn't it a wonderful day? Isn't every day a wonderful day in God? We all have our challenges and we all have our difficulties, but God is always in control, amen? And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we look at our difficulties instead of looking at Him. And just as Linda was taking us through the worship, it was very real. I just saw the Lord Jesus in the centre of this auditorium. And you see, we tend to be looking around at other things and different ones come in, but you see, if Jesus walked in here in the physical, all our eyes would be on Him. But you see, He is here in the spirit and He wants all of our eyes to be on Him. Do you see Him this morning? And that's not what I'm speaking about, but I just wanted to share that with you. And you know, the Lord always brings confirmation. Late yesterday afternoon, I rang Kayleen and I said, I'm sorry I'm late, but there's a particular song that I'd like for tomorrow morning. She said, oh Mum, I'm not leading worship, Linda is, and it's really a bit late to ring her now and tell her. And I said, oh. And she said, in any case, which one did you want? So I told her, and she said, oh, well, you know, Noel's playing and he's the only musician and maybe he might not know that. Bless you, Noel, you do know it. And so here I come this morning and off they sing. It's time for us to take our stand and march into the promised land. Awesome. Jesus, He overcame. Jesus, He's not only just coming again, He has come. He abides in us, but we know that He's coming again to take His bride, the church. During the week, I think it was, yes, Thursday night, we were invited to Lawrence and Rachel and Marsh and the brother, I can't think of his name. Thank you, David, I mustn't forget his name, to their home. They've just moved into a new home. And we had a lovely evening, and it's a beautiful home. But it's not the bricks and mortar that make a beautiful home, it's the presence that is in that home. And so we were able to share with Lawrence and Rachel and their friends and family, and Pastor Chris and Pastor John prayed to bless the home. And when we were coming in, we were looking at the house and going out, and I was reminded it's all about, when we're looking at estates and things, it's location, location, location. And when we go to buy a property, we always take that into consideration, don't we? We want to have things in the right location. Not about money for us as Christians. Of course, we have to invest our money wisely. But our location thoughts are about position. To the estate agent, it's location. To us, it's position. So we want our home to be in a central position, as Lawrence and Rachel have a position that's easy for them for transport to and from work, for the children for school and so on. So it's all about position. And this morning I want to talk to you about positioning yourself. In real estate it's about position, position. In football and sport it's about position. We need to be in the right position at the right time to get the ball to be able to do something effective with it. When we're out in the sun, sunbaking, not that that's so good today, although they're now telling us that people are so afraid of the sun, they're not getting enough sun, so there are safe times for us to be in the sun. But we need to position our sun to get position ourselves to be in the sun. And the same if you're fair like me, and I have to be careful of the sun, I need to position myself in the shade. And I often laugh. I still can't help it. I don't always do it, obviously. But my husband will drive anywhere to get a bit of shade. He loves the sun. He'll work in the sun. But when it's in the car, we go to the shopping centre and there may be car parks right up. This is ringing a bit, Karen. Is that me? Or there might be car parks right up near the centre. Have I got this up too high? The only trouble is it folds over if I do that. Is that better? Sorry for whoever's listening to the tape. We're having some technical difficulties. Is that better? Thank you. And so might be a car park that really suits me. because it's closer to the shopping centre, but he'll drive around. It might be just a couple of leaves dropping over that cause a little bit of shade, and he'll drive into that car park. So it's all about positioning. He likes the shade. He gets frustrated with those sunshade things. The Kerwals bought us a lovely one, but he always gets frustrated putting it in the car, so we go to get where there's a bit of shade. It's very important for people who surf in the surf beach that they are in the right position to catch the wave. So in anything that we do, position is very, very important. Golfers tell you that they've got to stand and move in the right position to swing the ball. Opportunity always favours those who are in the right position. David was able to conquer Goliath because of position. Not only his natural physical position and his strategies, but the position of his heart, the position of his spiritual ability. Elisha positioned himself under Elijah. And as a result, when Elijah was taken to heaven, Elisha was just in the right position to catch Elijah's cloak when it fell, and he got the double portion. Are you in the right position this morning? This message is born out of the Spirit of God, as everything is as we are drawn. But I think it was two Sundays ago, the worship leader brought forth a word that God was calling his church, he was calling us to take our position in worship. And the Lord really started to burn that. I got excited when I heard that word, and it really started to stir in my heart. And then about 3 or 4 days later, something else came up from the word about positioning. And I believe God is calling us, church, into position. It's time for us to take our stand. It's time for us to come into position. It's time for us to march. And you know, when you're marching, you must be in position. A disordered army will never accomplish victory. An ordered, positioned army accomplishes the victory. And you see, we know we've already been given the victory. Jesus has overcome all things. But he says, don't be a scraggly bunch. Stand in that victory, stand in that authority, and march in the position that I've called you to. You see, we are an army. We're not just a straggly bunch of people, even though at times we might think we are. We've all been positioned here for such a time as this for a purpose. Now, I read something the other day and I thought, oh, that's a bit harsh, but there's truth to it. There was a minister who stood in his church and he called and he said, today, all those who are not filled with the Spirit of God, I want you out the front so that I might pray for you because we have a work to do. And everyone sat there. So he said, put your hands up if you're filled with the Spirit. And everyone put their hand up. And he said, well, that's interesting. Why aren't we seeing it? And you know, that's very true. We would say that we are filled with the Spirit, but where is he? Where are we hiding him? Are we positioned to allow him to flow through us and from us to accomplish all that God has perfected us to do? We need to have ourselves in the right position to receive all that God has given to us. This morning I want us to look at Joshua 3, 1 to 17. Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out for the acacia grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. They were being called to position themselves. Do not come near it, that you might know the way in which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you want God to do wonders amongst us? There is nothing stopping that but us. The Spirit of God desires to move and do wonders. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I am with you. As he was with Moses, so he is with us. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the word of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites and the Perizzites. And so it goes on. And so the Ark of the Covenant came and was before them. Now we know the story that Moses was raised up to lead the children out of Israel, and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And then here we know now that Moses died, so there was change. And there is always change in the things of God. Old dreams, old desires, old ways of thinking and doing things change. But we need always to be in position to find what God's heart is and what is best for us. Now we know that Joshua sent out, knew that God had called him, and that God was going to use him now to be the leader, to lead these thousands and millions of people across into Canaan. And as I've said before, Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is a place of rest. It's a place of promise. And a lot of people will get it mixed up with heaven. But there were battles to be won. There were victories to be taken. And so we are now living in that wonderful place that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. But are we really possessing? Are we positioning? Are we possessing all that God has given to us? Are we living in the fullness of all of the blessings that Jesus Christ came to give us? And so we know they had to have their hearts ready and positioned. But we can imagine people, can't we? There were many people who looked and thought, well, this is not possible. Remember that in that 40 years, the older generation, that generation had passed away. The only ones that were remaining from the generation that came out of Egypt were Joshua and Caleb. And so there were many, all of those people had heard stories of how Moses led their forefathers out of Egypt, of how Moses had lifted the staff and the sea had opened and they'd walked across on dry ground, of how God had provided for them in the wilderness. And in fact, these people were still living on manna, God's provision. But here they'd come, the new generation, and they were all excited because they were going to come and take this promised land. And they were all built up, and suddenly here they come to this great river. Now, this river, Jordan, was usually only fairly narrow. But the spring rains had come, and we know that when the rain comes, and we pray for rain, that the waters flood, don't they? And so at this time of year, and this was by no accident, because you see, God puts challenges before us, and he wants to stretch us. He doesn't want to make it easy for us. He wants to grow us. And so here was the river. It was about 100 miles wide. And so they're thinking, how are we ever going to get across here? We can't swim. We can't. There's not enough time to make rafts or boats for this many people. There's no time to make a bridge. But they were miserable. And then Joshua sent out spies. And we know the story. 12 spies went out to spy Canaan, the Sunday school song. And so again, it depends on your position. 10 spies saw the negative. They saw the giants. They saw the impossibilities. 2 positioned themselves to see the power and the ability of God. And they said, we can do this in God. Our God is greater. What position are you in this morning? How do you see God? Do you see God bigger than your circumstances? Or do you see your circumstances bigger than God? Do you see the possibilities? Or do you see the impossibilities? And so some of the people were thinking, oh, you know, some of the spies said this, do we go with this? You see, we need to be in a position of faith. That is what it's about. It's about faith. And Joshua had faith. Now, Joshua remembered the crossing of the Red Sea, but he didn't know how God was going to do this. He had memories, but he just knew that God would do it. That God had set him up. He remembered as God was with Moses, he would be with him. And so he knew that God would not fail him. Do you know that God is with you this morning? Do you know that he's with you? Do you know that he's called you to stand in position and take all that he has given you? Do you know that that position will bring change? There is always change, but the change is for our good. It's time to leave the old and move into the new. It's always time to push forward. To push forward and take and take and take in the name of Jesus. And so here they were, upset. It's sometimes we're driving along the freeway and we see delays expected. It can be frustrating, can't it? Those delays. But those delays are for our good because they're doing a work. Well, these children were called to a delay. They had to sit there and wait for 3 days. Not knowing what was going to happen. And they were grumbling and they weren't happy. And they were saying again, it's not good to be here, we should go back. Or this isn't a bad place, at least here we've got water, we've got food, we can make our position here, we can camp here forever and live here. But that was not God's plan. So Moses sent the leaders through the camp to tell the people to position themselves. Now you imagine too the priests. These priests had not seen the crossing of the sea. And they're thinking, what is going to happen here? And different too with Moses, God is calling his people to a new time. God has called us now to a new time. With Moses, the children had the cloud that was a fire by day and a pillar by night. And so they were able to follow and knew that they were protected by that. And then because of where they were at and they'd just come out of this place of Egypt, and like us, when we first come out of our sin, when we first come to Christ, the Lord Jesus, in a way, makes things easy for us. Everything's new. Everything seems there for us. But as we grow, he starts to put challenges in front of us. So now we have a new generation, a generation that have heard all the stories from Moses, have seen mighty things in the wilderness. So now God is calling them to position themselves in faith and to see change. And what happened was the priest stood, and you see it takes faith and you've got to be in right position to carry something. You know, you've all been to funerals and you see that when the coffin or the casket needs to be carried, they always try to position the men so that the weight is borne evenly amongst them. And so God had that same thing. Now, all of a sudden, the shift was from seeing God and knowing this covering of God, and suddenly now they're looking at the ark. There'd been a lot of talk about the ark. They'd not seen it all these years. And there'd been a lot of talk about it, this ark of the covenant. Now, here it was in front of them. And instead of them feeling they've got a covering, they've got to follow this ark. They've got to follow it. And so think of the priests. They had to walk out and actually stand in the river. There was no standing Joshua with his arm raised and praying and the waters opening. Joshua just told them now to follow the command. And that's what the Lord's saying to you today. By faith, you've seen all the things, you've heard all the things. It is all documented here for you. It has all been imparted in here for you by the power of my Spirit. Now, move in position and take. And so the priests came down to the water and imagine how they felt. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to see where my feet are going. I don't like walking in muddy, slushy water because I always think about what's underneath. And the same as when I go into the sea, you can see, so I walk in the shallow and there's sand. But I don't like going into a river. My husband loves it. I always think about what's underneath and all the stones and the unevenness of the ground that you can tip over. But by faith, you see, God was calling these men. And as they actually stepped, and they had to go right into the water and get their feet wet, and then the miraculous happened. The waters parted, and they walked across into the promised land. Into the promised land. And so we see an amazing thing. And as they walked, they needed to walk in order and in position. Can you imagine the stampede? And as I've said before, I've spoken about Moses when he led the children. We often think, oh, it's all so wonderful. These were people just like us. As they walked through, here was this great wall of water either side of them. And there would have been those that would have been looking at the wall of water and wondering if it would fall. There would be those that were inquisitive and maybe wanting to touch. And so there had to be those amongst them that were ordered. And so in our church body, we have leadership. We have those in authority over others. We have those who are senior. We have those who are further along the way encouraging the others. But again, to keep and walk in position, to stay in that position. And do you know the awesome thing? That God has a position for each one of you that is not anybody else's. The position God has given me is my position. And sometimes I hear people complaining and grumbling and saying, oh, it's not fair. I want to do this and I'm not used in the church and I haven't got this leadership. Well, leadership is not born out of somebody looking at something. Leadership's born out of who you are inside. If the Spirit of God is moving within us and that is revealed, then Pastor Chris and the oversight are more than ready to jump and encourage that person into leadership. If there are things in your life that you're struggling with or you're feeling that you're not being used in the church, maybe you're not in the right position. Not physically, spiritually. Because if you're in that position, God has clothed you with everything as he has each one of us. We're not walking in God because of any credentials or any great talking ability. It's the Spirit of God at work. We need to be in position. We need to be getting in touch with this mighty God, allowing him to change us from glory to glory, that glory and that revelation. And if someone shows forth, you know, a leader, if you want to be a leader, you know a leader because people follow them. If you think you're a leader and no one's following you, then you haven't got the gift of leadership. And it doesn't mean that being a leader or having leadership means that you have to stand up here. There are people that serve on the door and that's every bit as important. In fact, probably more than here in the sense of touching people. We each have something to give and to bring. And if it's not happening, we need to look at ourselves. But anyway, these people set off and they followed. They walked in position. And they needed a tremendous faith. Tremendous faith in God. And again, not in man, but in God. As humans, we like to hold on to what's familiar. God wants us to be a people who are willing to grow and expand and claim the territory, claim all that God has given us. There's a lot of crossover times in our life. Along with hope and joy, there are also problems. There are challenges. And there are things that we need God's wisdom to meet. The most life-changing crossover is at the moment that we make the decision, that wonderful decision to position ourselves and open our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ. But that brings change. It must bring change. And that change keeps going. We are not here to stay the same. We have been put here to change, to evolve, to grow, to become like the Lord Jesus Christ in his likeness. We need to recognise that we need his wisdom and truth. And the only way we'll have that is to position ourselves in prayer. We need to be prayerful people. We need to be seeking people. We need to be faithful people. We need to be obedient people. We need to be people of faith that we will see with our spiritual eyes, that we need to be partakers and not spectators. And so often we come and we're spectators. And when we're spectators, we will never know when it's our place You know, if something's happening here and we're to get up on the platform and we're looking around everywhere, it's embarrassing for the leader up here because they're trying to get your eye and tell you to get up. Now, we can all miss the mark, but we need to be attentive. We need to be watching and waiting for our moment to move. Because when we move, things will happen. Things will break open. We either believe it or we don't believe it. And if we don't believe that, we don't believe anything here. We've never really grasped the true reality of the life-changing experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've said before, many people say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. We are not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We've been saved by grace and now we are saints. We're called to be sons and daughters. Many are still servants. But God wants us to rise up and take our position as sons and daughters, and that's another message. But we are all capable, sadly, and we still will sin. But don't live in the lie that you are a sinner. Because if you keep saying that, then you've never really known Jesus. He has never accomplished that work within you, that life-changing work within you. And when you think that, you will sin. Whereas the more we understand the power of God in our lives, the more we claim the victory in him, the less we will sin. The more we are in our position, the less we will go astray. Stand in your position. Stand in your position as sons and daughters. Husbands, stand in your position in your home and be the authority. Be the husband. Be the man. Take the authority in your home. Love your wife. Cover her. Discipline your children. But stand in a place of honour. Women, stand in your position. Don't usurp your husbands. Stand in the place of honour. Respect your husband. Listen to him. Allow him leadership. Complete him. And children, your position is to come under the authority of your parents. Now, many people say to me, oh, husband and wife, now we're free in Christ. We're head to head. That's not true. The principles of God never change. The wife taking her position doesn't make her less. God is here. Then under God, the authority is that the man stands, the woman comes into him. The woman comes into the man to complete him. That is her rightful position. And there you see the beautiful picture of the covering and the shelter and the safety for the children. That is God's aim. Now, when we first married, it takes time to move in here. I think I'm well in there now. After 50 years. But you see, we can muck up and change that. But God has never made us to come head to head. We are to take our position in every area of our life. And when we take that position, there is safety, there is covering, there is power, there is authority. There's tremendous freedom, ladies, when you take the position God's called you to. And it doesn't mean there's not authority, but we're not to have authority over the man. And we know in God's principle it isn't that a man will lord over the woman and treat him like a slave. He is there to protect her. That is a place of protecting and covering. Don't deny yourself that position, ladies. It's so sad when women deny themselves that position, when they try to fight for something they can never have, because you were not created to be a man. You were created to complete. And when you complete that man, that is a very powerful position. It is a very fulfilling position. It is a position that brings peace. We need to understand that God is calling us to change. In our position, he is calling us to change. Just like the children of Israel had to change. They had to change their way of thinking. They had to change the way they positioned themselves. They had to change their faith levels. And they had to follow. And they had to follow. And they had to move in. And then when they reached Canaan, there were still many things that had to change, many things that they had to do. But one thing is they learned was position. Position. Change. Have you seen change? Can you touch it? How can you view change? For some, it's sailing off into a glorious new adventure, while others see it as stepping off a precept into the abyss. And sometimes change can be like that. Sometimes change can be like that. But each of us must recognise change. When I look back in my life, I can see so much change, not about me, but in me. And God is continuing to change me. If I look back over this year, I can see change. You know, the world is in a turmoil. God is still God, and he is still on his throne. The Spirit is still moving, but there is much to be done. The world is crying out. We see our economic situation. We see so many difficult things. There's been a big change in America. The first black man who has been called to be the President of the United States. There's been much controversy over his standing. He professes to be a born-again Christian. But many would try to pull him down by saying that he has a Muslim background. So there is much trust that America need to be having at this moment. But you see, let me tell you that today, as never before, the world is looking to the church. The world is looking to the church. You know, I have psychiatrists, I have psychologists ring me quite often, talking to me about studies, talking to me about people that they've come in contact with and whatever, because they see, they don't understand that it's the power of God at work in my life, but they see what they would see as success, or they hear what they would call as a wisdom of study. They don't understand it's the Spirit of God. In our schools, we see the government is putting money in. There are so many chaplains being released into schools today. From July this year, about July I think it was, there was 172 chaplains in the schools. To this moment, do you know what it's escalated to? There are 300. That's how quickly it is growing. Because the world is seeing, the government is seeing that the church has the answer for these kids. And if you want to pray for anybody, pray for the chaplains in schools. So many of them are young teachers. Most of them are women. There are some men, and we pray for more men. But many of them are women, young women that have been teaching and have felt the call of God to move into this area. Or others have gone and done the degrees and the studies, and you need a degree to be a chaplain. But most of them have gone from teaching, and some are nurses because they've seen the need in the schools. And they're not just dealing with children. They're dealing with teachers and parents. So they've got the children, they've got the parents, and they've got teachers. And so they need our prayers. But the world is seeing that we have the answers. So we need to change. We need to change our position. We need to change our thinking. We need to change to get in tune with what God's doing, that we might be showing forth the power of this Spirit that is at work within us. We are not just anybody. We are no longer normal people. We're a peculiar people. But we have the answer to the world's needs. You have the answer to your neighbour's needs, to your friends, to your families. Now, we can't push in, but if we position ourselves, God will break open and make a way. That song this morning was not sung by accident. I prayed and prayed. God had laid this message on my heart. And I believe that was to be sung. Now, many of you might have thought, oh, that was nice, but it spoke to me because I needed that confirmation. And God is in for to confirmation. But it's time for you and I to stand, to take our place, to march, to know the victory, to show forth the victory, to claim the victory of all that Jesus had given us. Sometimes we think, I don't want to change. But you know, life is impossible without change. There is always change. Our circumstances change. Our children grow, brings changes. They don't stay little children that go to bed at 6 or 7 o'clock at night when mummy and daddy tell them. Suddenly we've got big people around us, as all the parents with teenagers would say amen. And they're around till 7, 8, 9 o'clock, and the older they get, the more they're around. And the less time we seem to have for ourselves. Change comes. They get licences and go out onto the road, and that brings us to our knees like we've never prayed before. There are many changes. Then they get married, and then there's more change. Husbands retire from work. That's change for them, and it's change for the women. There are always changes. People change their job, it changes our finances, whatever. There are always changes. Just having a baby brings tremendous change into a life. Two people get married and everything's ordered in the home, and suddenly this little cry comes in, this pink or blue bundle, and the house is in chaos. There is change. It is impossible to live without change. But you see, God wants us to position ourselves that our change is good, that our change is profitable, that our change is advancing. That is what God has called us to advance. We say, well, I don't want to change. I like things the way they were before. If any of you were here Sunday night, last Sunday night I spoke, and I was saying about how we can get stuck in a place and how my heart was that the building was going out here. I visualised it for about 4 years. I used to walk out there and see it. And when somebody said it's going out there, oh, that can't happen. That wasn't part of my plan. And I said to my husband, well, why are they going out there? And God bless her, it was Joan and Heather, I think, that went to Pastor Chris and said, well, wouldn't it be more reasonable to go out here? I couldn't see that, because to me, all the roofs were all set up out there. My son said, Mum, you'd never make a builder. There's no way you can build without great expense to balance all those roofs out there. And of course, it had to be out here. And so I had to change my thinking. And I didn't just do it through gritted teeth. I said, Lord, thank you. I can see now the wisdom of that, and it's wonderful. But I had to change my thinking. You might say, well, of course you did. But there are many who go along, but inside here there's a gnawing and a grumbling. I don't like it. I don't want it. And you see, we have to understand that because we are so spiritually connected, that attitude can affect the body. That attitude can affect the body. You see, Pastor Chris doesn't stand here and the oversight don't support him just because we want to put a rubber stamp on him and just be nice people and say, oh, yes, Pastor Chris, we agree with you. It's done by prayer. It's done by surrender. It's done by seeking the heart and the will of God. That's what brings unity. And then you see, the people need to come and pray and get into position to receive what God is doing. Not what man is doing, what God is doing through man. We can either hinder the blessings of God by refusing to get into position, by refusing to change, or we can flow with the power of his Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about things or buildings or anything else. I'm talking about a spiritual move here. I'm talking about positioning yourself in God. God wants to help, wants to move us forward. He wants us to turn the page. You see, change can either be a springboard or a hammock. You can either see the things of God bringing change to spring you into something wonderful, or you just want to lay back in a hammock and stay where you are and never change. It's very important that we position ourselves. But we need to know the timing of God. We can't go ahead of God, but neither should we fall behind him. We have to keep in step with him all the time, and that is by prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to move us. We need to know the thing that God has called me to do, the thing that God has called you to do. Even though Jesus did not need to be baptised because he knew no sin, he submitted to the will of the Father, and he submitted because it was what God had ordained for him to do. And finally, we need to know our purpose. Joshua knew his purpose. Joshua was called. Joshua positioned himself. Do you know why God called Joshua? Because Joshua positioned himself. He was always, as it were, in Moses' shadow. Now, do you know what it takes to be in a shadow? It takes up close and personal. If someone is walking and they're casting a shadow, you need to be very close to them to come into their shadow. Moses cast a shadow of grace and power, of authority, and of the teaching that Joshua needed. Joshua was always there. He always positioned himself with Moses. He was always there. And so without him realising, God was training him and moving him up. God is wanting to train and move you up. Are you in the shadow? Are you walking close to Jesus? Are you knowing the power of the Spirit in your life each day, ready to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me in whatever way it is that you have called me to be used. Joshua knew the purpose. He knew that he was to lead the children across the Jordan. And he didn't take his eyes off the task, but he waited patiently for the opportunity. He waited to see that God's favour was upon him. We must develop a hunger in the presence of God, whether it's in worship, here at church, or whether we're at home, in our car, wherever. Take your eyes off the things of this world. The more you look at the things of the world, the more you will want them and become like them. We need to be a peculiar people. We need to be desiring God's purpose in our lives. We need to keep our hearts soft and pliable. David said, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That needs to be our cry every day. When someone crosses you, when someone hurts you, forgive. Forgive, straight away forgive. And keep that soft heart. Keep that soft heart. Remember, pain in life is inevitable, but misery is optional. We will always have pain from one form or another, but misery is optional. As Jesus teaches us in the beautiful Shepherd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Walk through the shadow. Don't make your bed in it. Don't stay there in misery. Don't stay there in fear. Don't stay there and lose your position. Get up and walk on in spite of all the adversity, in spite of the challenge, and know your position and know the one who is enabling you to walk. If you show that you're prepared to put the next step out, believe me, he will see that the next step follows it. He will give you the strength. He will give you the grace. He will give you the confidence. He will give you the faith to see that I am able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think according to his power at work within me. I believe that, do you? His word tells me that, and I claim that every day. Be thankful and don't be ungrateful. Allow the Spirit of God to keep your mind open, so that you will listen and receive and then go away and seek God in prayer, not with a preconceived idea, but say, Lord, I lay it out before you. Now show me the way that you want me to take. Show me the position that you want me to be in this situation. We not need to get on the edge and live adventurously. Not to be too... I hear my grandchildren with this saying, and I said to Carly, like, one day, what does that mean? They say, oh, you know, they're too precious. And that was a new one on me. We never said that. It means they're too guarded. They're too conscious of themselves. They're too protected. Don't be precious. Be precious with the things of God. Be adventurous with your faith. Allow the Spirit of God to show you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, as long as I am in my position. If I'm in my position, you know, I preached a few weeks ago or months ago about Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but walks in the power of the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by a river. And so it says about those that sit and those who stand and those who walk, that God wants us to be planted. Planted strong, so that when we're sitting, no one can move us off our seat. When we're walking, no one can push us over. When we're standing, we cannot be unstable. We will be sure and strong and fulfilled. Let us position ourselves. Remember, like Pastor John said in communion, the city of Brimbank needs you. The city of Brimbank needs you, needs what you have, needs who you have. And if you don't tell them, who will? We are called to be power-filled people. Let us stand in the position God has called us to. Let his praise and his purpose and his spirit so move us that we will be electric, that we will be vital people, that we will be full of love, that we will be full of faith and assurance, ready to do all that God has purposed us to do. Father God, we just praise you this morning for your word. Father, I just ask that whatever I've said, Lord, that is not of you would just be blown away, and that the power of your spirit, Lord, might minister to each heart the reality of your word, of your purpose. Father, may we each stand as Joshua stood and not look at the past and think it's over, but look at the present, Lord, and know your power to take the future. Father, I pray that each one of us might be positioned by your spirit, positioned, Lord, to see you, positioned, Lord, to feel you by the power of your spirit, positioned, Lord, to move in you in whatever you choose to use us in and through. So, Father, I pray that we would be a people who would embrace change, that we would be a people, Lord, who would stand in our position, that we would march through the seas, we would march through whatever is in front of us, knowing that we can take it because, Jesus, you have broken the chains and you have set the captive free. Jesus, you overcame the grave, you have overcome all things, and you have given it into our hands that we might take every blessing that you have given us and that we might present it back to you as a gift. So we just praise you now and thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' mighty and victorious name. Amen. Amen.